Blog Talk Radio.
One of my favorite songs of all time, favorite gospel songs of all time. Good evening and God bless you, brothers and sisters. You are now listening to another live broadcast of God's Word to Man. And, of course, I'm Brother Manny. Tonight is like no other night. We have a topic, a lesson that Pastor has given us tonight. And he is going to, along with myself and my brother Nathaniel, we're going to dig in the Word and talk about obedience versus sacrifice. Which is best? Obedience versus sacrifice. We'll be discussing out of the scripture of 1 Samuel 15, chapter 22nd verse. But before we get to that and before I bring my brothers on, I want to welcome each and every one of you taking time out of your Tuesday evening to come and join tonight's Bible study. At the end of the day, that's what it ends up being. I love hearing Pastor teach, and I try to throw a few tidbits in there every now and again, and so as well as my brother Nathaniel. But if you would like to call in, and you would like to comment, or if you would like to ask a question, you can do so by calling 563-999-3552. Again, that number is 563-999-3552. And Pastor Murphy and myself and Daniel will do our very best to answer your question. But if it is a comment, we ask that you limit it to about a minute and a half to 2 minutes, so that way the lesson and the Word of God can go forth. So without further ado, I'm going to bring in my first brother here. He is our eldest brother, our mother Elaine's first child, Brother Nathaniel. God bless you, Brother Nathaniel. How are you today?
God bless. God bless. I'm fine. And yourself?
Oh, I'm feeling energized to hear Pastor come forth with the Word. And, of course, we'll throw our little two cents in here and there, but I'm very excited about this because this is kind of like an open topic. A lot of people they read this scripture. I've heard the scripture taught in the past, but very interested to see what angle Pastor is going to take. And I'm speaking of Pastor, going to bring, of course, Pastor Joseph Murphy Sr. on the line, Pastor of the Caring Church of Memphis. God bless you, Rev. How are you?
I am doing great. God bless, Brother Nate, Brother Manny. Good to be on.
God bless.
Good to be able to discuss the Word of God always. And I'm just looking forward, just like you guys, as to what God is going to say on tonight. So I'm excited.
Amen. 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 Well, all right, we're going to dig right in. Brother Nate, can you open us up with a quick prayer?
Amen. Heavenly Father, open our minds and our hearts as this word is brought forth to us, Heavenly Father, that we may gain a greater understanding of you, Heavenly Father, that we can build on our relationship with you, Heavenly Father, so when it's all said and done, Heavenly Father, we get to know you better. We get a better understanding, a closer relationship with you, Heavenly Father. We thank all this in your Son, Jesus Christ's name, Lord, we pray. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you for that, Brother Nate. I was reading the scripture, and this is interesting, you know. People have kind of discuss, dare I say, some people would even argue over the scripture and its meaning. But I'm interested to know, Pastor Murphy, what led you to this scripture and why do you think this is important to discuss today?
What led me to the scripture is, of course, the Holy Spirit, because I like to be able to teach what God wants me to teach and when he wants me to teach it. And much like what you said, I think we have kind of seen this scripture from a surface level and not necessarily in a very substantive way. And I just want to give to our listeners just the perspective the Holy Spirit gave to me, which really lends us, lets us know, first of all, how much we talk about the different dispensations, right? So we talk about, and I'm going to just go ahead, if that's okay, Brother Manny, and just go right into it, if that's okay.
Yes, yes, sir, yeah. Absolutely.
We talk about the different dispensations. So we always have addressed the Old Testament as this dispensation of the law and that the New Testament was this dispensation of grace. And that's accurate at a very surface level. But the reality is that grace existed even in the Old Testament. And I'm not just talking about the grace that we view as how we got saved because Jesus hadn't come yet. But this sense by which we talked about this before, about how grace is not just this covering agent. Grace is not just this thing that covers our sin and absolves us of our sin, but that grace is an empowering agent in that it gives us the power not to sin, but it's also a intermediary, if you will, where God allows, so grace is also an allowance where God says, okay, here, I'm going to allow you to do this thing to kind of cover what's going on. And that's what was happening. Grace was at work even in the Old Testament. And you don't hear a lot of people talk about it. In fact, I've not heard anybody ever talk about grace being alive in the Old Testament, that God allowed sacrifices for the covering of sin speaks directly to the fact that grace existed in the Old Testament. And so When I began to study this text, it just began to open up my understanding of how there's levels to this. And, you know, and I don't say that from a place of cliche. There really is levels to our walk with God. And because there's levels with our walk to God, it depends on us, not God, because God is constant, the same today, yesterday, and forever. But if we learn how to mature in God, then as we mature in God, then we matriculate through spirituality to a point where we don't even have a desire to want to do certain things that we know is not right in the sight of God. And so this text here says, and I just want to read it, and I'm going to read it from, I have it in the English Standard Version, as you already said, 1 Samuel 15, verse 22. And Samuel said, "Has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord?" That's key, obeying the voice of the Lord. "Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen is not hearing." Hearing and listening is two different things. Hearing says, okay, you've heard it, but listening says, I've heard it and I've acted on it. He says, "It is better than sacrifice and to listen than the fat of rams." And so when we began to look at this text, Samuel is replying. Can you guys hear me?
Yeah. Yes, sir, I hear you.
Samuel is replying to Saul. He is informing Saul all the ceremonial and rituals around atonement is not the preference of God. And so, you know, yes, God allowed them to make atonement, but God did not prefer that as the major way of having relationship and connecting back to him. This is why we, amen, have the laws, and I'll get into that in just a second, but this is how come God instituted certain things, because God really does care about us having a relationship with him. God really does care. Remember, Adam and God walked with Adam in the cool of the day, Adam and Eve in the cool of the evening every day. Why? Because God cares about relationship. And the fact that he walked with them every day should suggest to us that God wants us to be in constant and consistent fellowship with him to develop our relationship with him. And the closer we draw to God, the less likely we'll need the form of grace that is that covers our sin as imputed to us from the finished work of the cross. And so we have to understand, even in the Old Testament, he's laying that thing out. He's saying that obedience, it would be better that you listen to what I'm asking you to do than for you to be disobedient, and now you have to offer sacrifice for what you have done. And so he says here, like I said, it's this ceremonial thing, this ritual thing of getting unblemished animals, lambs and bulls and goats, and sacrificing them at the altar. He said that is not God's preferred method of reestablishing relationship. He goes on to say, let me back up and ask this question. Have we turned asking for forgiveness into a ceremony or a ritual? Have we turned asking for forgiveness into a ceremony or a ritual. Do you guys kind of see what I'm saying? Like we are good at, oh God, please forgive me for doing A, B, and C. And it's almost if, because again, we harp on this thing about grace, it's almost as if, well, you know, hey, it's almost as if at times we kind of pre-plan, if I dare say, the sin that we're going to commit. And we pre-plan it because we know there's grace there to forgive us and put us back in right standing. That's why you hear people say, well, you know, Jesus died for all my sins, past, present, and future sins. Well, that right there tells you the mindset of an individual who would boast in Jesus having died for sins they haven't even committed yet, because it really gives us a window into what, how they think and how they're approaching living their life as it relates to sin. And so so my question this evening is, have we turned asking for forgiveness into just a ceremony, into just a ritual? You know, hey, this is just what I'll do. I'm going to go and do what I'm big and bad enough to do, and I'm going to be what I'm big and bad enough to be, and when it's all said and done, I'll just run back and I'll ask for forgiveness. What do you guys think about that concept of forgiveness being turned into a ritual?
Brother Nathaniel?
Well, you know, I agree with you, because many times, not saying all Christians, but some Christians put on airs in front of others to make believe that they're asking for forgiveness, when all along that they're still being disobedient to the word of God, but they're putting on a show. For instance, like Jesus condemned the Pharisees in Matthew 6, where he told them that, you know, all this religious activities that you were practicing, you were putting on a good show for others, but it didn't mean anything.
Amen. Amen. I'm just going to ask you guys to just kind of speak up, because our Auntie Mary is listening, and she's asking that we speak up a little bit more. She's going to listen. And also, yeah. And also, I want to bring on our sister. She's my big sister, y'all little sister. But Sister Jeanette is on the line. God bless you, Sister Jeanette.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. God bless, God bless, God bless you all, Bishop. Hey, Auntie Mary, how you doing? I love you. I hope you can hear me, Auntie Mary. I love you. I love you. Thank God for you. Thank God for the blessings. Thank God for your prayers. Hallelujah. I think it's just like what the bishop said. We don't hear a lot about grace being spoken about in the Old Testament. And in fact, there was a lot. And even I didn't really think about it, because I speak often on my live, when I do go live, about how God tarried with Israel over and over again, and that was grace. People like to disregard the Old Testament and speak about the New Testament. Oh, well, now we're under grace. But there was grace upon Israel, because Israel would continue to sin, and God would send them prophet after prophet. He would speak to them, he would tarry with them, and they would still continue in their mess until God just had to turn his face from them. So with the scripture that we're speaking about tonight, it just don't go hand in hand. You can't be disobedient and do what you want to do, as the bishop says, as Nate said. You can't just do what you want to do and think you can fix it with some rams and some goats. Yes, that's fine, but it don't go together. It don't go together. Who are you sacrificing to? Who do you belong to? Because if you're being disobedient, you can't belong to God. You can't belong to the Father. Who are you sacrificing to? And so it even got to a point where God, you know, he turned his you know, turned his face from the sacrifices. You know, he kind of snubbed his nose at the sacrifices because it don't go hand in hand. Your disobedience and you doing these sacrifices, that don't go hand in hand. My children, who will sacrifice, will also be obedient to my word. And then I will, you know, honor their sacrifices. So to me, it just doesn't go hand in hand. So yes, as Samuel was speaking to Saul and telling him that obedience is better than sacrifice, because the sacrifice goes out the window when you're constantly disobedient. When you're constantly disobedient, you cannot be an heir of Christ. You cannot be heir of God if you're constantly being disobedient and you think you can fix it by sacrificing. When he's speaking to you and he's telling you to move this way, he's telling you to move that way, and you don't do. You do what you want to do. So that's my input. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, big sis. I appreciate that.
Amen.
I just want to say a couple of things here, Rev, and I'll throw it back to you. I think that what we're really talking about, what the scripture is really talking about, when it's talking about obedience versus sacrifice, which is best, I think it's really at the core of it is talking about real transformation, right? Real transformation. What does your life look like, right? And so even in this scripture, Saul was given a task by Almighty God. He was given a task and told what to do. All right? And he thought he did what God asked him to do, but he only partially obeyed. And
that's
even
right.
partially obeying is being disobedient, right? Because
right.
you didn't
that's
do
right.
what God you didn't do what God told you to do. You did what you wanted to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the Bible even talks about disobedience is what? Is as what?
As
witchcraft.
Witchcraft.
And I know you're going to get into that, Pastor, but I just wanted to call that out. And then I wanted to put something on the people's mind. Now, I'm not saying this is Holy Spirit, drop this in my spirit. I'm not saying this is me. I'm just saying that while Jeanette was speaking and while you were speaking earlier, Pastor, I heard this, that modern-day Christians or modern-day believers, they are doing today Saul did then, right?
Yeah.
They are doing what they want to do, and then they're using grace as the lamb. Let's just think about that for a second. They're using God's grace as the lamb and the oxen and the whatever Saul, whatever he took. The Bible calls it the spoils.
Yeah.
He took the spoils from the victory when God clearly told him to destroy everything. Even to down
Everything.
To the underlings, people with children.
That's right.
Now,
that's,
we're talking about the
right.
wrath of God. This is what happens when people are disobedient, when a society, when a people are ripened in iniquity, destruction, death. That's God's wrath. He won't go back on his word.
Yeah.
And so what do? We think that we can have this... this fraudulent, this fugazi, if you will, relationship with God, and think just because we pay our tithes, I'm in church every day. I feed the homeless. Yeah, I sacrifice my time to go sit, you know, and pray with or whatever it is that you do that you believe you're doing for the glory of God. And on the back end, you're not living the life that God has commanded us to live. You're not obeying his word. The Bible says that's witchcraft, sorcery, idolatry.
Hmm.
Amen? And that's my opening comment. Go ahead, Pastor.
No, I mean, no, that's excellent. And I would challenge that that was the Holy Spirit that revealed that to you. You know, because the truth of the matter is, it fits back into what I said about asking for forgiveness becoming a ceremony or a ritual. I'll just ask for forgiveness, and people are not being truthful if they say that they never thought that and went ahead and sinned, knowing they was going to go and sin. You knew you were going to go do this. You knew you were going to do what you shouldn't be doing, but you also knew, I'll just ask for forgiveness. And so you're spot on when you say, we've turned grace into that. I clearly believe that's Holy Spirit. And what I heard the Holy Spirit saying while you were talking was that it's an antichrist spirit. Disobedience is an antichrist spirit. And you're operating in an antichrist spirit when you are disobedient. Think about this. The same spirit that operated in Saul was the same spirit that operated in Adam and Eve. What do you mean, Pastor? Well, Saul, you had your marching orders. Adam and Eve, you had your marching orders. Saul, you were told specifically what to do. There was no room for maybe he meant this, maybe he meant that. No, God said kill everything. Take the fish out the fish tank, kill everything. That's what he said. And so Adam and Eve was told, do not eat from that tree. Specific. Saul had an antichrist spirit because Saul really did what Adam and Eve said. Well, maybe God really didn't mean it this way. Or maybe he really did that in the third. Saul did the same thing. Maybe it won't be bad if I just do A, B, and C. No. A little leaven leavens the whole lump, point blank, and the whole period. You cannot choose to deviate. You can choose to deviate from God's instructions, directions. You can choose to deviate from that. But know that when you do, you are in active disobedience, walking in an antichrist, witchcraft, demonic spirit. And sooner or later, if you don't straighten up, God is going to deal with you on that. Well, how can you say that, Pastor? As you said, Manny, I tithe. God doesn't care about you tithing more than he cares about your obedience. That foolishness is right there in the scripture. So you might, if you're not going to be obedient to the word of God, you might as well keep your money in your pocket, because this is why the conversation will be had with God in the end time. I mean, at the end of days, God's going to tell people, depart from me, I never knew you. And what does the scripture say? People are going to say, no, God, I prophesied in your name. I did blah, blah, yak, yak. And God's going to say, yeah, well, guess what? My answer's still the same. Holler back. I don't know you. And so we have to. It is imperative upon us to do it God's way. He's not playing. It's not a suggestion. It's not a good idea. He's telling us for our own good, in that we may maintain a level of relationship with God so that we stay in a blessed place. Here's what I wrote down that the Holy Spirit said when I was preparing this lesson. Sacrifice will never suffice. And here's the reason why. Israel had 613 laws. They were going to break one of them sooner or later. And God realized this. This is why he sent Jesus. Because, first of all, some of them wasn't even trying hard enough. Some of them got impatient and did not want to wait on God. And I'm telling you, there are spirits that travel together. And whenever you see the spirit of impatience manifesting, you will always see a disobedient spirit. You will see an impulsive spirit. You will see a haughty spirit. You will see a prideful spirit, because what you're really saying is, I know better than God. And when you allow your spirit man to believe that foolishness, you have set yourself up for heartache and disappointment. And so, like I said, there were 613 laws in the Old Testament, and it was impossible for them to keep them all. But this is what we need to understand. The laws were meant to establish boundaries. See, we look at it as something different. Well, why can't I commit adultery? Well, why can't I fornicate? Why can't I be homosexual? Why can't I be a lesbian? Why can't I just do what I want to do? Why can't I just steal? Why can't I just put my grandbabies on my taxes, even though they don't live with me? Because God established boundaries, and here's why he established those boundaries. And I know some people will say, well, what's wrong with putting other kids on your taxes? It's not morally correct. It's sinful.
It's a lie.
It's a lie. That's right. I tried to say it pretty, but it's a lie. The laws were meant to establish boundaries that the nation of Israel could have had the greatest level of access to God and his abundance according to his will by covenant and by promise. See, God is not asking us to live holy and be holy just simply to spoil our fun. I just told you earlier, he wants to be in a real relationship with us. And that's not on God, it's on us. But here's the deception of the devil, right? He wants you to believe that God is punitive. God just don't want you to have no fun. Don't God understand you lonely and you ain't had a husband or you ain't had a wife and Lord knows how long? No. Don't God understand they ain't paying me right on this job? And so what if I leave out of here with a handful of this or a handful of that? If they paid me right? No. God is saying, do you trust me? Do you trust the provisions that I'm able to be able to bless you with? And sure, yeah, you can go back and repent, but that's why Samuel was telling them, why do something to have to repent and watch this, resolve yourself to less when you can simply obey God no matter how much it hurts, no matter how patient you have to be, but you will be blessed better for your obedience. I submit to y'all on tonight, Samuel really is not asking a question. Well, he is, but it's more of a redundant question. Because the answer is obvious. Of course obedience is better than sacrifice. Of course it's better to obey God than it is to disobey him and risk being out of the divine protection of God. Because there have been people who have disobeyed God. God allowed a hedge of protection to be removed from them, and they perished. People have left here in the midst of their mess because they thought, oh, it just can't hurt. Oh, you know what? It ain't going to be that bad. You don't know what God can allow. I always cite Ananias and Sapphira. You don't know how bad it could be. And so he says, in a very redundant way, in my estimation, that clearly abundance is better than sacrifice. And it would serve us well to listen to the voice of God. It's right there in the text. He says, listen to the voice of God, the Lord. How do you obey? By listening to the voice of the Lord. How do you obey? By listening to what God has told you through his word or his audible voice. And sometimes he'll use other people around you to speak into you. And you need to hear it. When it lines up with the word, you need to heed it so that you can have that level of access to the abundance of God, an abundance that I'm sure if we knew or felt it or sensed it, man, you couldn't get us to do wrong. Obedience is not just for obedience sake. Obedience is a byproduct of a solid relationship with God. Our dependency on him is why we are obedient. Because, man, if I'm going to listen to what God is telling me to do, I got to completely be dependent on him, because I don't know what it looks like on the other side. I know what my flesh is telling me it could be like, but guess what? I don't know how God will swing open a door. I just know he can. I don't know how God can open up what God is going to pour out of the window that he opens up. I just know I won't have room to receive it. But if I give in to the impulse to be disobedient because I can sacrifice, or because in our dispensation I can repent, then I will never know what the obedience would have produced if I would have just depended on God and not my flesh. He says, I want to have this relationship, this solid relationship that proves that you have a dependency on me and that you have blind trust in me. How many of us are willing to say, and I'll let y'all jump in if you want, how many of us are willing to say on any kind of consistent basis, we blindly trust God?
Amen.
That's a great question.
Or is it more like we do trust him to a point of the trial seeming to be overbearing?
Amen.
Amen.
Go ahead, Brother Nathaniel.
No, I was just going to say I agree with him wholeheartedly, and I could just speak for myself. I've been guilty of that myself, where I would trust God to a certain extent, though I have gotten better with it. But in the past, I would, you know, God, okay, I'm going to listen to what you got to say. I'm gonna do what you tell me to do. And then when it's not happening fast enough, then I take my two cent in it. And 10 times out of 10, it backfires in my face, because I was disobedient, just like Saul was. And as a result of Saul being disobedient, he ended up being rejected as king. He lost his throne. His dynasty was cut short because of his disobedience, by him not obeying what God told him to do. And that's what a lot of Christians do. We say we're going to do what God tells us to do, and we may start out that way. And then, as Pastor said, then we may start trying to interpret, say, well, maybe he said this, maybe he meant that. No, what did he say? You know, and you know, so yeah, that's me. So yeah, I agree with him.
Amen. Thank you for that comment. So I'm just going to break it all the way down to the lowest common denominator, because I'm a very simple person, and I like simple answers. Just give it to me straight. Don't sugarcoat it. Secular world will say, without a chaser. Obedience is a key.
Yeah.
And it opens access to God. and his kingdom and everything that comes along with it.
Yes.
This disobedience will put a lock on that access.
Mm. Yes, sir.
And you won't find the key on that key ring that'll open it.
Yeah,
the only key that opens up access is obedience.
Yeah, that's good.
Don't matter what you do. It don't matter how many times you lead the choir. It don't matter how many times you attend Bible study and bring all your thesauruses and commentaries.
Mm-hmm.
It don't matter how many schools you graduate from theology schools, master's, PhDs. None of that matters if you're not obedient.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Bible takes it a step further.
Mm-hmm.
When you are not obedient, of course, you're disobedient. The Bible call you the children of wrath.
Yeah.
Whose wrath?
Yeah, yeah.
God's wrath.
Mm-hmm.
It even goes a step further than that and says that when you don't obey, you are an idolater. What does that mean?
Yeah.
Idolater.
Mm-hmm.
You're serving another god. You have another God. No, I don't. I don't serve Buddha. I don't serve Muhammad. I'm not Muslim. I'm a Christian. I believe in Jesus Christ. Well, that's not the only idol you can have. Some of us are walking around serving ourselves.
Amen. That's good.
That's what Saul did. That's exactly what Saul did. He said, you know what? God gave me this victory. God sent me here to destroy. You know what? I'm going to take this and I'm going to take this. Mm-hmm. Why do you think he took all that stuff? He wanted to show off in front of the people like he did something.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't you, Saul, that gave you the victory. And that's how we got to start speaking to the Saul in ourselves and say, it's not you, man.
That's good.
Not you.
That's good. Speak to the Saul.
It's God. That's what it's time to speak to the Saul in ourselves and say, you know what? Stop being an idol worshiper. I'm an obese individual. I say it because I'm recovering. I'm coming down and I'm losing weight. I got a whole platform coming down the line. People going to see videos, YouTube and all that. But what I'm saying is God showed me myself. He said, you're an idol worshiper. Me, God? Wait a minute. You know, I know you're perfect and all, but I don't even want stuff for myself. I give what I got away. So you're talking about me? An idol worship? Mm-hmm. He said, yeah, you got another God. I'm thinking to myself, what other God could that be? Food. Oh, we don't want to talk about that. We'll get some emails and text messages. People have turned us off. Now, they didn't go on crazy. I was following them when they were talking about Saul, but he started talking about my food. We worship food. When you wake up in the morning, the first thing you think of is not God. And, Lord, how can I obey you today? Lord, what do you have for me today? The first thing you think about when you wake up, man, I can't wait to eat me some breakfast. I can't wait to stop at McDonald's on my way to work and give XYZ 1, 2, 3. I can't wait. Oh, I wonder if they got them pancakes at the job. If they get, when you on your way to church and you're going to praise God and enter the house of prayer and be transformed, when you sit in your seat, if you thinking about where y'all going to eat after church, that's idolatry. Because what are you supposed to be in church to do? I'm just saying nothing wrong with going to eat after church, but I'm saying when things consume your every thought, when your every thought and every move you make, you say you're putting God first, but every move you make is the move you want to make.
Amen.
That's idolatry. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Pat.
No, that's real good. I just wanted to say this. You know, we feel like, okay, I sinned, okay, I'll just repent. And you know, you know, hey, I may not have this or I may not have that. No, understand this. Just like back then, even still today, disobedience or sin, whatever you want to call it, will cost you something. It's going to cost you something. Something has to die. That's why there were sacrifices. Listen. The lamb didn't sin. The bull didn't sin.
Amen.
You sin. you did wrong, but the animal had to pay for it, because the Bible teaches us that the wages of sin is death. But just because it's written in the New Testament don't mean it wasn't alive in the Old Testament, because clearly it was. Because whenever they sinned, something had to die. In fact, when Adam committed the first sin, he died.
Amen.
Not right away, but when you are faced with living all for eternity, then you die. Guess what? You just cheated yourself. And that's what we do when we sin. That's what we do when we're disobedient, which is why God wants us to be obedient. You can look at the right now gratification all you want. I can sit there and look at a Giordano's deep dish sausage and pepperoni pizza with green peppers. I'm wrong for that, but you can sit there and look at it all you want. But guess what? There's a price for pay for eating the whole thing when you know you should have only had one slice.
Come on, man.
But see, when we see it in the front of us, whatever your thing is, maybe you don't like food. Maybe your thing is something else. But whatever your thing is that takes you out of the will of God, it's going to cost you more. And you'll look back and go, man, if I would have just had that salad, I wouldn't have this upset stomach. I wouldn't have this high blood pressure. I wouldn't have diabetes. I wouldn't have blah, blah, blah. See, that's what the devil doesn't show you. He shows you the right now gratification. And because we're out of relationship and out of position with God, then we fall for the okie doke. We fall for the banana and the tailpipe. We fall for his influence because we see it and we don't see the benefit of obedience. We don't see that benefit because it's not tangible right away. But that's why you got to have a reliance on God. That's why you got to trust God, that his word is certain, that he will bless you more than you can even think or ask. It doesn't make me angry, but it bothers me when I hear people misquoting the scripture that says, eye has not seen, ear has not heard. Stop making it plural. It's not talking about many species of one thing. It's talking about a species of any kind that has ever existed. No human, no animal, no angelic, nobody has seen, no eye has seen, no kind of ear has heard. As tall as giraffes are, they haven't even heard. As keen as eagles have, they haven't even seen what God has prepared for those who love him and will obey him. How could you put that there, Pastor? Because love and obedience is synonymous when it comes to God.
That's right.
Amen.
It is synonymous when it comes to God. You cannot say you love God and be disobedient on any kind of consistent basis. Let me say that before we get in mail or inboxes. You cannot say you love God and consistently you're disobedient. And it would behoove us to reduce disobedience to as minimal as possible. You need to be in a place where I didn't even know I disobeyed. I apologize. I'm sorry. That's where you need to get to. And if you stay drawn close enough to God, it's an achievable place to be. Stop just accepting Well, I'm just this is how I am. I've had a bad attitude all my life. It ain't godly. I've been selfish all my life. It ain't godly. Guess what? I've been a homemonger all my life. It's just in my family genes. My uncle was a homemonger. My daddy was a homemonger. It's just in my stop, sir. Sir, get delivered, sir.
Okay.
Joseph Murphy, get delivered. I'm talking about myself. I ain't talking about nobody else. Get delivered, man. Ain't no sense of you praying and begging God for stuff, and then you turning right back around, going out of here, being disobedient. You are cutting your own legs from up under you. Something
Amen.
Has to die when we sin. And guess what?
Yep.
Many times it's your blessing. Many times
mm-hmm.
it's that prayer request that you put before God that you know that only God can achieve this. Only God can make this thing come to pass. And then we go out and be disobedient and wonder why God ain't answered our prayer. Do you know what we do? We turn around and blame it on something else. Well, maybe it just ain't time yet. Maybe just, you know, God know I don't need it right now. Maybe he knows if I moved in that house, something will. No, he's not blessing you because you've been disobedient. And something has to die.
Yeah.
It has to happen. Or God will be a liar. And God can never be a liar. And so
Amen.
I conclude with this. And I'll throw it over to y'all for any further comments.
Amen.
God does not desire to punish us. That is not the relationship that he wants. It's just not. It's just like parents on earth. You don't want to run around every time punish my grandkids. Now, you want them to do right so you don't have to punish them. Sometimes I got to go rescue kids because my wife be getting ready to give it to her, and she deserves it. Because when you're disobedient, something has to die, even if it's a few cells on your behind from the belt. Something has to pay the price. And sometimes I find myself trying to go rescue her again or whatever because, you know, because you don't want God. That's not the relationship God wants. And I know my wife. I know how compassionate she is and how much she loves Kinsley. My wife don't want to whoop Kinsley, but my wife understands that if she doesn't discipline Kinsley and she continues this disobedient streak, she's going to eventually be somewhere where my wife is not in and my wife cannot cover her. And it may be detrimental to her. And God is the same way. He gotta deal with us. Because guess what? If we left to our own devices, we'll do like Saul. And we'll kill most of what we were told to kill. And we'll take what we were told to destroy. Instead of just understanding that there's no such thing as a little obedience and a little disobedience. And so we got to comprehend that God doesn't even want that punitive relationship. He wants us to be able to come to him. That's why he gave us the word. He gave us a cheat sheet. He gave us the word as a means to give us the power to resist the influence of Satan. I mean, what else do we want God to do? Live our life for us? He gave us the word. He's shown us the way through his word. He gave us examples. Listen, God gave us examples of people in the Bible who were disobedient and what happened to them. But is that not enough for us to straighten up and fly right? He gave us examples of people in the Bible who did obey, and how he blessed them. Is that not enough incentive to straighten up and fly right? I submit to you on tonight that while God will accept your sacrifice, in our case, your forgiveness, he desires us to be obedient rather than ask for forgiveness or sacrifice. He would rather us simply just be obedient.
Amen. Amen. Brother Nathaniel, you have a final comment?
Amen. Amen. I just want to echo Pastor's sentiments. God loves us. God loves us so much that he gave his only begotten son. What kind of love is that for your children when you give your only begotten son that we will turn around and be so disobedient? Like Pastor said, it's right there in the Bible. All he wants to do is us to obey his word, live by his word, to gain a closer relationship with him. But when we're disobedient, like his word also says, whatever you sow shall you reap. So if we're out here being disobedient, sowing discord, something's going to happen that we may not like, that we may not be able to recover from. So why go through all that when all he wants us to do is be obedient to his word, to him, and have a relationship with him because he loves us. And he's always been there for us. That's my final thought.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Nathaniel. I appreciate that. I appreciate your participation tonight. I'm going to give my final thought. I want to clear something up for once and for all. The pastor said or alluded to it earlier about Adam and Eve and how Satan convinced them that they wouldn't die, and they eventually did die. But what Satan left out was their loss of access. That happened immediately.
That's right.
They lost the relationship that they had, the closeness with God that they had, and that closeness, that relationship provided every possible thing that they could have needed or wanted.
Mm-hmm.
They lost the entire garden. I bet after they lost that, they wanted to die right away. when that woman felt that first pain, that contraction, that menstrual cycle, them cramps, I bet she wanted to die.
Yeah.
When that man had to go out there and work that back-breaking work to make the land produce what it wasn't going to produce, because that was part of it. The land is not going to produce for you like it did before. You're going to have to work out there with the sweat of your brow night, day after day after day. I bet he wanted to die.
Yeah.
But even then, God's grace showed up, because God had every right to kill him right then and there, but he didn't.
Yeah.
He had a plan, because he knew they were going to fall for the okey-doke. He knew it. But that's what makes him just. That's what makes him God. He gives you the opportunity anyway, even though he knows you're going to mess it up.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of us. He already know what we're going to do. He know the outcome for every action and every reaction and every re-reaction and whatever you think you can come up with or think. He already know. He's in the future waiting on us to catch up. But he still allows us to choose for ourselves. And like Adam and Eve, many of us don't choose him. We don't choose to obey, and we have to suffer. It may not be the suffering you think. You may think you're getting away with it, but something is dying. You're losing access to something.
That's right.
Yeah, and before I toss it over to Rev, I just want to bring on our Auntie Mary and see if she has something to say to add before we get ready to close out. God bless you, Auntie Mary. How you doing?
I'm doing okay.
Amen. Did you have something to add?
No, not this time.
All right. Well, we appreciate you tuning in with us and being on with us, and we love you. All right, Rev. The floor is yours. Go ahead and take it to the house.
I thank and praise God for our sister Jeanette, Brother Nate, yourself, Brother Manny, Auntie Mary, and my wife that I know was listening, anybody else that was listening that was able, we couldn't see or able to acknowledge. Thank y'all for supporting. And I just really want us to understand that, you know, our heart is in teaching a message that is transforming. Because, listen, we all have been in a place, at a place, and nobody's trying to stand high and mighty and look down on anybody. But the truth of the matter is, it's also time to stop sugarcoating the word of God. It's time to stop babying people and pity patting them and just tell the truth. We can't live any kind of way. We got to be obedient to God. And the scripture is replete with examples of what happens when we're not obedient. And so why continue when God has shown us through the scripture that it's not beneficial? Why continue being disobedient when God has shown us in our own lives by denying us access? Better, as Samuel told Saul, to just obey. Because like Brother Nate said, Saul disobeyed, but he had no idea he was going to lose his kingship. And that's what happens when the devil puts those blinders on us and makes us think it's just okay to do it our way, even when God has clearly, and we got to get that part right. I ain't talking about God left it murky and it was unclear what God meant. No, we know what God meant because it's right there laid out in his word. We know what God meant because he told you. And so just like he told Saul, kill everything. Don't take anything. We got to follow God's directions, his instructions. We got to live our lives in a consistent realm of obedience, because it is much, much better. It's not even close than sacrifice. Thank y'all for tuning in. Be blessed. And remember, God cares, and so does the Caring Church.
Care for me. If I can hear from you, then I'll know what to do. I won't go on. Never go on my own. Just let your spirit guide me, and let your word abide me.
Speak to my heart, Lord.
Oh, my heart.
Give me your
holy word.
If I can hear from you,
if I can hear.